Well, just to add my Christmas greetings to you and to say how wonderful it was to meet yesterday and to anticipate the birth of the King of Kings. And it occurred to me, can you remember the last time we celebrated Christmas Day on a Sunday? Can you remember the last time? I can't, I must be getting older. Well, what a wonderful day, too, when we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Lord's Day. I could have chosen a nativity text today, but it seemed to me that the Lord directed my attention to a wonderful passage, really just one verse, but I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1. So if you want to open up your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 15 through 17, but I'm going to focus on verse 15 as here is the Apostle Paul who ties the coming of Jesus and the purpose of Jesus together, because he came for a purpose. He's just spoken, Paul, who saw the risen Jesus, he's just spoken about the grace that has been poured out on him abundantly so that he was never the same again. And then he says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, here we are to worship you. Here we are to open up your word, which is not like any other book. Here you speak to us, and it's not only that you speak to us through your word, it's that the word, that controlling principle of the universe, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. If we want to know you, then we need to know Jesus. So please help us this morning to celebrate you and to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever experienced it. Christmas takes you by surprise. So you go into Carrefour and you're not quite as careful as you normally would be, and you take it home and you put it into the freezer. And later on, when you take it out and defrost it, you smell something very fishy, even though it is chicken. And as you look closer at the label, then your heart begins to sink. So what you thought was fine is well past its sell-by date. It's run out of its shelf life. It's good only to be thrown away. Now, I don't share that to scare you if you're having chicken. Or turkey, are you having that after the service? I don't scare that to share you. But isn't it something that 2,000 years after the event, we celebrate something that just won't go away? The whole of history is not going to erase this. We celebrate the birthday of a man who never wrote a book, but of this man, more books have ever been written. He had no formal education. The Apostle Paul had a lot of formal education. Jesus had none. But many universities and colleges have been founded in his name and with his values. He never owned any property. He had to borrow a boat to sail on, a donkey to ride on, even a coin when he wanted to tell a story. This is the man. This is the man that we celebrate today. I have a very simple aim. I want to show you from Paul's words that whatever else you may have in this life, God's gift in Jesus will never pass its sell-by date. Younger people who are here today, you soon outgrow the toys that you once loved, the Lego that you enjoyed. If you're a little older, and notice I said a little older like me, you quickly realize that those brick-sized mobiles we used to use have been replaced by sleek, smart phones. As long as God is, though, as long as the world is, here is a gift that will never run out. Here is a trustworthy saying, the Bible says, that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Just 3 points today. Firstly, if God has entered history, there is a person that you must know. The truth that we celebrate today, that God actually came into the world and he came through the womb of a virgin, is pretty much out of this world. At the very least, people say it's a kind of fairy tale, like Sleeping Beauty. At the very most, maybe a fantasy story like The Lord of the Rings or The Chronicles of Narnia. Great stories, but these are stories we leave behind, don't we, as we grow up and as we become sophisticated. And I don't think this is so much because people deny that there's any God at all. The incarnation is as much a mystery as to how life is created. Can any of us explain how life was created? I don't think Paul would be surprised that more and more scientists today are talking of intelligent design. Listen to one scientist, Sir Roger Penrose. He won many awards for physics and cosmology. He calls himself an atheist, but he's honest. He says the odds of a cosmic accident producing an orderly universe out of chaos is 1 in 100 billion. I think I would say, he says, that the universe has a purpose. This is an atheist speaking. He says some believe that the universe somehow computes, but I don't think that's a very fruitful or helpful way of looking at the universe. I think that there is something much deeper about it. I think that there is something much deeper about it. Do you see, brothers and sisters, that every Christmas is meant to make us think of the something deeper? Here is a trustworthy saying that God has entered the world. Faithful is this word, Paul is saying, and worthy of all acceptance. God has entered into history and nothing can remain the same. Can we pause? Will you take that in? A lot of things buzzing through our minds on Christmas Day. Will you take this in? What if God really were one of us, as Joan Osborne sang? If God had a name, what would it be? If God had a face, what would it look like? Some people got angry at Joan Osborne because in the song she goes on to speak of God almost becoming a slob like one of us. You can get angry with her, but she's asking the right question. What if God was one of us? Moms and dads, you saw the scan of your little baby. Maybe many scans if you've got many children. I saw the scan of a baby the other day, Kristen DeBus's baby, soon to be born. Can you imagine that one of the members of the Trinity, who always was, chooses to be born in the womb of a simple girl? Week 6 into the pregnancy, the size of an apple pip. Week 7, the size of a grape. Week 8, the size of a strawberry. And you can see why this would have been a stumbling block for the Jewish people. A God up there we can take, but a God who comes to us, why would he do that? That's mind-boggling. John chapter 1, Patrick read a little bit of John chapter 1 to us. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, or the one and only Son, who is himself God, and who is at the Father's side in closest relationship, he has made him known. Now, I want you to see today that we're not talking about any person. I want you to see today that Jesus Christ is the full picture of God. When you come to religion, you come to a place. When you come to Jesus, you come to a person. And young people, I want you to take that in. In a confusing world where you look around and you wonder, what are you up to, God? And you have all of these questions. Far more important than trying to put God in a box is to know that in Jesus you have a God who understands you, a God who understands everything. I love the story of Henry Ford, founder of the Ford brand of motor cars. The genius behind Henry Ford was not Henry Ford. was another man called Charlie Steinmetz. Charlie Steinmetz was such a genius that he could fix a motor in his own mind. And one day the assembly line at the Ford plant broke down and there was nothing that Ford's men could do. So he called in Steinmetz, and Steinmetz tinkered for a little while. Then he threw a switch and everything came on again. A few days later, he sent Ford a bill for $10,000. Charlie Ford said to him, because they were friends, "Don't you think that bill is just a little high for some tinkering?" So he revised the bill. Tinkering, $10. Knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Brothers and sisters, Jesus alone knows me as a human being. He knows which screws to turn in my life. He knows which belts to loosen. He knows how to prepare me for heaven. And that's where the gospel begins today. I want to say to you today that Christianity is not a philosophy. I want to say to you today that God has come into our world. I want to say to you today that to meet Jesus is to meet all of God's grace. It is to encounter all of God's truth. It is to see all of God's wisdom in the flesh. Without him, you may never know where you are going. I wonder if there's anybody here today, and while you love Christmas and what surrounds Christmas, and man, I love the things that surround Christmas. I really do. But maybe while you're here today and you love these things, you're not really looking forward to what is going to happen after Christmas. You know where you're going to be after the service, or maybe after the happy holidays, but you don't know about your ultimate destiny. You don't know how to get there. Here's a saying to hold on to, the apostle says. Here's a person who you can trust. Jesus Christ has come into my world. He knows who I am. He knows why I'm here. He knows where I'm going. If God entered history, you've got to know this person. But secondly, there is a purpose that you must grasp. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to know who Jesus is? But you see, to try and separate Jesus from what he does is like trying to cut a person off from his shadow. You can't do it. If the world just needed, you know, a better man, if the world just needed a good example, Paul would have stopped. The text right there would have stopped, but he doesn't. He says, here is Jesus entering the world and coming to our level. And as the baby grows from a child into a man, then his mission becomes clear. Is Jesus a killjoy? There's some young people and they believe, you know, you follow Jesus Christ and that's the end of all your joy. Where do we get that idea from? You read John chapter 2, and when Jesus begins his ministry and the wine runs out at a wedding, he changes about 100 liters of wine or 100 liters of water into wine. Tells me that the human God has come to bring joy. I cannot really rejoice without knowing Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you're honest and you're saying, you know, how can I celebrate life when, as I look at my life, all I see is a mess? That's how the Apostle Paul saw himself. The worst of sinners. John chapter 4, you see how Jesus comes to the Samaritan woman and he meets this woman's longing for significance. He knows her and he knows how to lead her to the living water that she needs so that she may rejoice in him. Christ Jesus, the Bible says, came into the world sinners to save. And I think that's the part of Christmas that we find very difficult to swallow. I mean, we like the magic of Christmas and we like the gifts and the goodies, but then Christmas comes along and it doesn't say to us, cheer up. It doesn't say to us, if we all pull together, we can make the world a better place. You see that's not the gospel. The gospel is God coming down to our level, that Christmas isn't some accident in history. Here is God diving into the world, not to rescue us from negative thinking, but the sin that makes us run after everything else. except the God who made us. I think most of us were shocked when we saw what happened in Berlin, at least the aftermath of what happened. And rightly so. It reminded us of what happened here a couple of months ago. What kind of person we say is going to take a truck, shoot the driver of the truck, a family man, and then drive it into a Christmas market? What if there was someone who might not only stop the truck? What if there was someone who might dive in the way and force the truck to stop? You know, when Paul uses the word save, he's thinking of a much more serious situation, which is just as real. He's thinking of a world of people who take after their parents, Adam and Eve, and in their illusion, they've traded the glory of God for their own, thinking that's the good life. We don't need God. We're fine. And if you're into religion, what you actually need is something to save you from negative thinking so that you can become a more positive person. And even when we sin, we get it wrong, right? We think of sins as isolated mistakes in an otherwise pretty good life. Paul speaks of himself as the worst of sinners. And the Bible says that Jesus came because sin is not just on me. Sin is in me, and sin is of me. And I need someone to give me a clean record and a brand new heart. And that's what the angel meant, Matthew 1, verse 21. He will save his people from their sins. Folk, there is a truck coming that many of us don't see. And behind that wheel is Satan, who has fenced us into the marketplace. And unless someone stops the truck, there is no hope. You see? And that is what Christmas is about. We need a Savior strong enough to pull the wheel out of the wrong hands, loving enough to put himself in front of the truck. And Paul says the Savior has come. He's come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, I'm so glad today that, you know, we remember that Jesus has come not as a bird, not as a beast of the field, not even as a talking lion. He has come as a man. And he's come not even just to die. He's come to rise again, to restore us to the final joy for which we were made, to know and enjoy our Creator and to have fellowship with him. And I want, at Christmas time, I want to be as honest as little Johnny about my life. When Christmas and New Year was over and they were back into the routine of things, his mom said to Johnny, "Now it's Sunday, you've got to go to Sunday school." And Johnny said, "No, I'm not going." And mom said, "Yes, you are." And he said, "I don't want to go." And she said, "I don't remember asking you if you wanted you going. Why do I have to go?" "To learn to be a good little boy," she said. And Johnny gives us a good insight into what we're all made of. He says, "I already know how to be a better little boy than I want to be." We may laugh, but we see the point. One day my sin will not be measured against the man who drove the truck. My sin will not be measured against Stalin. My life will not be measured against Saddam Hussein. If God is holy and Jesus is 100% expression of who God is, my life will be measured against the Son of God. And I need his righteousness. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom the first, Paul says, I am. And here's a command, if you like, to let the carols and lights point us to Jesus, who's the Savior of all who believe. I want to end with this, and I hope it's practical. If God has come into our world, there is this person that you must know. There is this purpose that you must grasp. You must understand why he came. But then there's a posture that you alone can take. What's the right response to the glad news? Is it, as the popular song says, simply have a wonderful Christmas time? And by the way, I like that song. And I hope you will have a simply wonderful time. But Paul's aim here is not that we may have a better Christmas. It's as if Paul is saying to us, how can you have a wonderful time unless you know the person of Jesus and grasped his purpose? And how can you do that unless you have personally taken the gift, think of the gift that Dennis had up there, and unwrapped it? And I need the reminder today that the gift of Jesus cannot be treated like the other gifts I receive. You know, we unwrap them and we like them, and then maybe we play with the gadget for a while, or if it's a nice sweater, you know, we wear it, and then in a couple of years' time, you're looking for it, and it's in the closet. It's past its sell-by date. The application here is for all of us. If you're still debating to follow Jesus, reach out now, because the story of Christmas is not over. Paul gives us a glimpse at the end of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. He says, keep faithful, keep following Jesus until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, and the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. So through Jesus, the kingdom of God created is not complete, at least not yet. We don't yet see that. We don't see all evil annihilated or defeated, and yet everything in us hopes for a day of justice. And the Bible says we know how the story is going to end. First, he comes as a helpless babe, but when he comes, we will see him as he is, and the king will part the skies and return to establish his reign forever. I want to say to you that if that is going to happen, you need to be in on this. You need to grab this with open hands. You need to reach out and take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to say to you today that Jesus does not change his mind about the offer of salvation. It stands from generation to generation. Have you taken it? If Christmas is just a nice legend, I'm on my own in this life. But if it's true, then I can be saved by grace. Reach out now, because the story isn't over. And if you do love and worship Jesus, there's an application for you. Humble yourself anew and tell the story with your life. Yesterday we saw that Christmas is a call to courage. Yesterday we saw that while it was dangerous for Mary and Joseph, in the story, it was most dangerous for God to lay aside heaven's glory and his comfort and to come into a world like this for people like us. I don't know what situations the Lord is calling you to face. I don't know what situations you may be facing in 2017. I can tell you it will call for courage. The life of Paul and the apostles tell us they will call for courage. And if you think it takes courage to be with Jesus, consider that it took infinitely more courage for him to be with you. And you look wherever you will, there is no other religion that has a God who needed that kind of courage. So when Christmas is over, I want to resist the urge to get back to my comfortable bubble and not be involved in the mess of the world. I want to learn as Paul had to learn how to be served by Jesus. And that takes courage. And I'm so glad to tell you today that the one who was all sufficient came, not because he needed recruits to say, let us help you out. He came so that overflowing in his power and in his life and in his joy, he might glorify himself by helping us as we seek to serve others. Humble yourself anew. Tell the story with your life. Christmas comes and goes. Each Christmas has got its own sell-by date. A few days' time, you're going to take down that tree. But Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying. Here is one who will never grow old. His name is Jesus. Here is one who will never cease to be relevant. Nations will come and go. Generations will come and go. We will all get older. One day we will face Jesus Christ. Across history, the message is the same. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I don't want you to get through Christmas without knowing Jesus. I don't want you to go through life without loving him as your treasure. And we can only respond with the Apostle Paul, isn't it, and say, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, Father, Father, how could we even begin to thank you? Even the little children this morning understood that a gift is a gift, and a gift is not something that you can earn. And inbuilt within us is this resistance to freely receive what you give. We want to earn, we want to achieve, we want to show. And here is Paul, the man with a great intellect, and yet a man who knew his heart, who says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I pray that today you give us the ability on this wonderful day to think of ourselves realistically, to measure ourselves not against other people, to be those who are so understanding that we're not trying to categorize sin, but who look deep within and understand that we need a Savior, and only Jesus can give us the clean record that we must have before God one day and the new heart that we all need. And I pray that there may be no one today who leaves here without knowing Jesus as Savior, without repenting from their sin, and without rejoicing to go and tell others of the good news that Emmanuel has come. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.